Listener, one and all, it's into December already. I can't believe it. You don't believe it. Justin, do you believe it?
I believe very seldom these days. Okay, people tell me things I disbelieve, and I just make shit up apropos of nothing, based on nothing, but I'm convinced that's true.
I think that's fair enough.
I'm just as I've got older, and I get older every day, I think...
And wiser.
Well, you don't agree with time, do you?
Nope.
So I do. I'm a very much... See, I believe in time. That's weird, then. I've just contradicted everything I just said, because you don't believe in the concept of time. I do. But you don't.
I believe in the concept of time. Oh. I just don't adhere to its... I just refuse to acknowledge it.
I can tell, because you're always late recording this. I'm always sat around waiting for you. And you're never there. And you're like, yeah, we'll do it in a minute, 5 minutes. And then like 2 weeks later, you're like, oh, well, that's... What's the difference?
Is that the truth?
To a mayfly, 5 minutes is 2 weeks. And what's the difference? And I'm a vegan, so we're no different to a mayfly. We're all the same under God's banner.
I do. That is truly what I think, to be honest.
It's weird that you think that we're the same as a mayfly.
I don't say that I'm right. All I'm saying is...
I'm saying you're wrong.
You're allowed to say that I'm wrong.
I know, and I'm right to say you're wrong. So I'm right and you're wrong. And that's the end of that. So we can move on. Because a mayfly lives for 24 hours with no consequence to anyone or anything in your life.
Whatever happens, it definitely gets to have sex, though, doesn't it?
No, not necessarily. What about if it got blown away in a gust of wind and had 24 hours on its own? It was like desperately searching for...
But we're no different from a mayfly. Really, our only job is to wake up, fuck, and then die, isn't it?
Well, I think they expect you to put that in such coarse terms, but yeah, sure. But to a mayfly, is 24 hours a full and long life? Because that's what it knows a full and long life to be.
Yeah.
So you think it runs the full gamut of a lifetime in 24 hours?
Yeah, it gets depressed around sort of noon. Leaves the other mayflies.
No, but to a mayfly, 24 hours is a lifetime. But animals don't know their life expectancy like we do.
Do they still have the same ticking clock inside them that we do?
Well, they must have a biological clock that when they're hatched as a little larva, they don't bone straight away. It probably is about noon, and then they just... But they can't look after their young. Do they overlap? So does a mayfly bone and then lay eggs and then dies before the eggs hatch? Does it ever get to see its offspring? So it does it know it's procreating?
It's like a divorced dad.
Doesn't mayfly know anything? How could you fucking champion these little cunts? They're not worth shit, mate. Well, you're all up in them.
I want to just say to the listener that because of reasons, we're currently also videoing this podcast but not recording it. We just can see each other. And Justin is holding his head in his hands. He's had a real epiphany of a moment that he finally realised he doesn't agree with me or anything I've ever said.
No, but does a mayfly... Right, do you think the worst thing that probably ever happened to human beings is self-awareness?
It's up there, isn't it?
Well, is that what the legend of Narcissus is? He fell in love with his own reflection. Now, I always took that to mean a vanity thing, but is it more of a self... self-reflection, literally, like the metaphor?
I think it's probably a metaphor rather than he actually wanted to fuck himself.
When you say a narcissist...
Because otherwise, how did that story get out? That's what I wonder.
I don't think he wanted to fuck himself. He drowned trying to look at himself in the river.
Yeah, he was in love with himself. He found himself...
No, but is it not a vanity thing, rather a... Like, I don't think... I think it's pretty problematic... Could cause problems that we know our average life expectancy.
Yeah,
I don't
true.
Think there's another species that does.
And what I about think really intelligent dogs?
They don't know that dog years are worth the. Then they don't know. They don't get it. They don't
you
know
don't
they're
going
to
they talk.
I don't
you don't
think. I don't
at
think.
Crufts. Think about Crufts. They're mixing together. They'll be talking. They're definitely talking to each other.
Does it? Yeah, that's another good thing, isn't it? Like, do different breeds recognize each other as different breeds? Like, does a boxer look at an Afghan and go, yeah, you're different? we're different? Or does it just go, we're both dogs?
American boxer tries to take the Afghan's dog
Rocky
house.
Seven. Rocky Seven. He goes over. No, an Afghan hound is very slender.
Oh, imagine the Rocky movies going to like...
Yeah,
because that happened. Yeah, it's about a dog called Rocky.
Yeah.
Spike, he's dog, and he goes into Afghan and he's involved in a dog fight.
That'd be...
But ultimately he refuses to fight and he brings the two nations together.
I saw a film once about a dog fight, fighting dog.
Yeah.
It was called... It was a South African film. And he killed a baboon. This bloke had a baboon and it killed an Alsatian, and then this little staffy killed the baboon.
Do you feel like that was a film or was that a snuff?
Fever dream.
Was it,
no, it was like
was
a kid's
given
film.
To you?
It was the South African whilst... Lassie, mate. It's a harsh country over there.
It might be just given to you on a building site. That's the kind of stuff that gets passed around. Oh, Justin, have a look at this tonight. I've told you about the one that a guy I work with got. Someone walked over and went, do you like porn? And he went, yeah. And he went, oh, watch this. This video, absolutely loved it. It was a DVD. Gave him this DVD. Come into work the next day. Went, you fucking arsehole. It fades from black into a man being having a corn on the cob rammed up his bum.
I remember I got tricked back in the days of LimeWire, and I downloaded what was labelled as the Borat film, the first Borat film. And as soon as it came on, it was just a man sucking another man's winky to like death metal. And it just came on like really loud and sudden. It was a complete trick. Like it came up and it said Borat, you know, great learnings of cultural, whatever the fuck it was. And then it was like, like that. And this like, man with a dick in his mouth.
And was it good?
Yeah, better than Borat. Still got it. Rubbed one
Borat
out.
Was all right. Borat was all right.
I haven't seen the new one, have you?
No, I can't watch it. Oh, that I couldn't. I can't
is
bring
it that
myself
sort of
to...
gotcha stuff too much, that sort of pranky?
I can't do it. I can't watch it. It makes me cringe.
It makes me
I
cringe.
Watched the first Borat through my jumper. I just pulled my jumper up over my head and was like...
Well,
watched
that'd be
it.
Very active.
I was in the
lockdown.
I was in the cinema with my dad and I was like, I can't watch this.
So you've got a PlayStation 5 coming for Christmas and you get the pictures with your dad. Yeah, anything else? Go get an ice cream afterwards.
I don't eat ice cream.
Back then, did you eat ice cream?
Yeah, probably.
Two scoops. Remember
I'd have it. I'd have it in a tub because the cone scratched my throat.
I never understood the ice cream cones. I think they're disgusting.
Yeah, they're horrible. Totally agree.
Thing for
What's
your youth, though,
that?
Isn't it? The very youthful thing was your mum would buy like the brick of vanilla ice cream. They look like a carton of fags. And
yep.
Cut a bit off and put it in between two wafers.
You could hold it.
Yeah, why did you put it in a bowl, you lazy fuck? Bit of washing up.
Give me a spoon.
Spoon in a bowl like a gentleman.
Choc ice is the same. You've wrapped it in chocolate.
That's not chocolate. That is not chocolate around choc ice. That
no,
is just some brown sugar shit.
It's not meant to melt, is it?
It's not chocolate. It's fucking horrible. And it's the thinnest thing known to man. It's an atom thin. Ernest
but it's there to stop the ice cream melting, isn't it?
But it takes top billing. Choc ice. It's not even ice. It's overstated.
It's a good point. It does take top billing.
Yeah, it's like the film where like Arnold Schwarzenegger had a non-speaking extra role in a film, a budget film. His
and
first
it's called Arnie's
role. And then like 10 years later, he was the biggest film star in the world and they re-release it and go, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Well, they did
like,
that. Tom Hanks has got a load of those, isn't he?
Oh, he's shit.
But there is a load. There's like, he did old film when he was young and then all of a sudden made it big. So they like put him...
Can you remember the stand-up comedy film he did? Punchline?
No.
He's
funny?
A stand-up comedian. And they go to the comedy club and they've got like, a locker room. And they've got lockers in the...
Is there a pair of tits? We spoke about this.
I don't know, but I just remember it as like... I just think maybe comedy clubs were like that. Like going... Like, you know, the police... The sort of like police shows, there'd always be the scene in the locker room where they go and get changed. Well, it was like that, but at a comedy club. They had lockers and like... It's not like that. You normally stood in a fucking kitchen or something.
You could put your coat over the back of some stacked up chairs.
If you're lucky... But, yeah, so the wafer
was... Or just take it all on stage with you, like you did at that one in Romford that we refer to fairly often.
And I, yeah, that's so I could just do a runner. Yeah. And I was right to. Good instinct.
It's weird. He's taking his satchel on stage with him.
I've got good... They say you've got good comedic instincts.
Yours is...
I had my car keys in my hand.
In your pocket of the coat you were wearing.
You know, you press the button and the key flicks out. The key was not... The key was deployed.
Yeah.
Not retracted. And I was like, I'm going to get the fuck out of here.
I still had to go on stage.
Yeah, I was like... I said, I'll say goodbye now, Ash. Enter stage left, exit stage right, through car park, in car.
We talked about this not very long ago, but it's just the fact that I got a text. You went left stage, the MC went on stage, and all he was doing was introducing me on stage. And in that time, I'd already got a text from you saying, I'm on the main road.
And wait until you see their faces, Ash. Their faces is the word. But so from my youth... The block of vanilla ice cream was always... And I was thinking about this the other day. Can you remember the phenomenon of musical bumps?
What was that?
Like musical statues, but they'd stop the music and had to sit on the floor. Last one to sit down got eliminated.
I know the name of it, but I can't say that I remember playing.
Well, I was thinking...
Maybe.
How mental is it that at a kid's party, you would go to a parquet-floored community centre...
And sit down.
You had to throw yourself down and almost break your coccyx. It was like you used to throw ourselves down. We were basically damaging our spines to win a set of
felt tips. It was just to get children ready for their life of being told what to do.
We were so poor.
We're being conditioned from very early age.
We didn't have chairs. We were so poor we didn't have chairs, Ash. It was jump down on your ass on a hard wooden floor. Fucking mental. What a shit game. God, kids' parties were shit. I never went to a party I enjoyed.
No, I've still never have.
No, I don't think I have.
Why do we do that to them? What's that one where you rip apart the parcel parcel?
Yeah.
I hate parcel parcel. Mm. The only time it's almost acceptable is if there's a prize behind every sheet.
Well, I was just about to say that's when it's least acceptable.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's that everyone gets a medal. You got to win. You got to have a winner. That's a life lesson.
On the school sports day, I did the obstacle race when I was 11, right? And I came third. And I remember as I crossed the line, I looked and I saw Colin Gray was behind me. He did not finish third. But he got so upset because he said he finished third, they gave him a certificate that said he also finished third.
And he's now a smackhead.
It really made me feel... That was so unfair. It demoralised me. It made my
in an arms race.
It made my third place not mean anything. You know.
That's what I'm saying. So if you get a prize in every layer, isn't that the same as Colin Gray?
Yeah, it is. I just want stuff.
You need to get over it, you fanny. You didn't win. Pick yourself up, dust yourself off, get back in the circle, and pass that parcel.
Until you get it. You go and you win that parcel.
Sorry, that was bad advice. Don't pass the parcel. Just get it and rip all the layers off. And if anyone
what
says anything,
then?
Have a tantrum.
What about the time when I went to a kid's party and I cheated at Pin the Tail on the Donkey, so I knew I'd got the donkey and yet the birthday boy still won?
Yeah, that's a middle-class party you went to there. Someone actually drew a donkey and had a tail you could pin on it.
There was a game called Pin the Tail on the Donkey. You're aware of that game?
Yeah, I know, but I'd never actually seen it in real life. That's too much effort.
What did you get? You get put the fag
musical
out in
fucking
the...
bumps! Sit on the floor!
Sit on the floor. Did you not get... What about... I remember going to parties where it was a record on a record player and they had to take
mate, I'm older. I'm 4 years older than you. Or 5 years older than you, something like that. 4 years older than you? You're 41.
41.
Four years older than you. Yeah, I remember record. I remember when tapes came out. I remember when CDs were like space age shit. And really, CDs were like a huge part of my life. But when you look back, we've had MP3, you know, like we've had digital music longer than I think CDs were a thing. CDs was like 1980. I reckon CDs were done by about 2000, weren't they? 2003?
No, it's got to be later than that. Don't forget, we're very...
I mean,
very,
you can still
very...
get them, but I mean, you know, we had MP3s by 2000, iPods basically by 2003, didn't we?
No. Did we? Yeah, maybe.
2005? Beginning.
But I loaded all of my CDs onto my iPod, I guess.
Yeah, that was the thing. That was the thing. When, like, MP3 players come out, it was just a way of listening to your CDs. Like, you ripped them. But what I'm saying is, digital music has been around for about as long as CDs were. But CDs seem like this thing that were about for eons, and MP3s or digital music's recent. But whereas we always talk about the weird notion of time, CDs weren't that long a span. They weren't nowhere near vinyl.
They didn't keep as long. And vinyl sold more than it's ever sold last year.
Yeah, but vinyl was like the main thing from like 1950
to
like 1985. Or
CDs came and went from the 80s to the 2000s.
Yeah, exactly.
They had a 20-year...
Yeah, and you think about it, we're 15 years of digital music.
What's the next one to go?
You what?
What's the next one to go then?
Well, it's gone now. It's all digital now. It's just, I think just files.
What?
There'll be no files. It's all streaming now, isn't it? You maybe should be like, oh, I've got loads of MP3s. I downloaded the Rolling Stones complete discog. And you'd have a folder with your music in and you owned it still in a way. But it's just everything streaming now, isn't it?
Yeah.
What if they just stopped streaming? If they just said, well, you can't stream anymore, we won't have anything.
That's what I'm saying. When I die and they say, what have you left for your kids? It'll be... nothing.
An eBay account with loads of good feedback.
Yeah.
That's what that would be like. I was writing a bit about when you split up with your missus, you used to go through the record. There's this famous scene in old films where they'd be going, that's my record. And you'd be fighting over the albums on vinyl. But now it's like, who's going to get the eBay account? Who's getting the Amazon account? You have to divvy up your fucking apps. Do you know what I mean? I've got really good feedback on Uber. That's mine. You never use Uber. And like, you'd be sort of like, that book, you'd be sort of like, divvying up.
What about friends now? You've got that. If you have friends, I know, nope. Speaking to you, but
literally haven't got any friends.
There is a weird thing that when I split up with my wife, we did have some of my mates. My ex had become friends with their
partners.
So it's like, all right, who gets to...
why can't you be friends? Both be friends with them?
No, I don't want to.
All your mates that wanted to fuck her would not be your friend, and they'd be hers.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, so that's how that one goes. And you're going to have all my mates, because I generally don't like people.
Right?
You what, mate?
I said, that's it going, mate, you're right.
No, I don't. You can have all my, I don't, you can have all the friends. I don't give a fuck about human beings. I do not miss them. I don't look forward to seeing them or talking to them weekly. None of them. Awful people.
Alright, mate.
No, that's true.
Haven't you? You enjoy meeting up with me once a week?
No. I think I'm incapable of loss.
Relationship.
I think I'm incapable of loss. Like, even like, I was really, really close to my nan. And when she died, I just didn't bother me at all. I don't know what it is. Very
you killed
stoic.
Her, didn't you?
No, but I'm very stoic. I'm just like, yeah, everyone dies. This has happened now. She's gone. And I don't get wistful and think, oh, if she was around now, I would. Because she's not. So I just think she's not. I just accept things.
Mate, she hasn't died. She moved to Suffolk.
No, that's true. I don't care. I don't look back. I don't miss things.
You never. I would say about you, you don't look back in anger.
I don't look back at all.
Oh, you beat your neck. You got arthritic neck.
Yeah, I've got degenerative osteoarthritis in my spine. I've concentrated very heavily in my neck, hence my ketogenic diet. But I don't miss the people. I don't miss things. I don't miss eras.
Yeah, it's good though, because you like lived in a shoebox for quite a long time.
Yeah,
in a sort of flat.
And it was fine. It didn't matter.
Because you don't. You're not. You'd be a prime example of the people. You know, they're trying to send people to Mars, and they've got to live in like
me.
A box room with two other people for 3 years.
Yeah, send me.
You could do that.
I don't look forward to anything, nor do I look back and ruefully, wistfully reminisce and want to go back to anything. I don't care if I never saw you again. I don't care about anything. All
right, mate. Why
I'm just
using
you as an example. I don't care about anything.
You know I'm fragile.
I think I'm a psychopath because I could not give a fuck, mate.
I think it's a really healthy place to be.
Yeah, but it's good because it means that whatever happens to you, it doesn't matter, ultimately. I'm philosophical about things because I think I just think of myself as an infinitesimally small atomic blip in an unfeeling, chaotic universe with no rhyme or reason.
I think if you
can
truly feel that way...
Then, I do, though.
Then I think you've won life.
Meaning of life.
Yeah, I genuinely think that's the case.
I think the meaning of life is accepting there is no meaning. I think that is sort of like the paradox of it, isn't it? We're all looking for a purpose, but it's the purposelessness, if that's a word. It's the lack of purpose.
I like it.
It's once you accept the complete lack of purpose, and that is the only thing that exists, is chaos and nothingness. Once you accept that, I think that is enlightenment. And it's not looking for meaning. It's accepting no meaning.
Yeah.
And I'm there. Been there for a long time. Born that way.
No, you've definitely taken a big step forward in about the last 6 months towards that.
I think I always believed it in theory. But I think... So I've talked the talk, but haven't been forced to walk the walk. I think it's been...
You shed your earthly material possessions, so...
I don't own anything.
You shed everything. You're the most Zen Buddhist person I've ever met. Last year, you basically stripped your life down to the bare... I mean, you still had a car to live in.
Yeah, that's what happened.
You still had a car to live in.
Yeah, I got a car, a phone.
So that's probably a bit much, actually. Now I think about it, you probably should do away with that.
Oh, I could. It doesn't matter. The thing is, the I don't want to be this yogi guru-like person. I think that's an egotism.
Well, you're smarter than the average Buddhist, though.
No, but you know, like people that do find enlightenment, they want to sort of like pertain to be great thinkers and wrap their arms around. But no, I'm here to tell you this: the opposite.
No,
I'm
you here to see tell yourself you as a great thinker, though.
No, well, no, but it's not like I'm this... I don't want to be... It's not evangelical about I can enlighten you to think like me. It's in us all. And I think the irony is the tendency and the fear is to run away from that feeling of nothingness. But that is it. So we try and, like a Christmas tree, we try and hang meaning on the branches like baubles and decorate it. But it's the tree, the bare tree is it. The baubles are what weighing it down. The baubles are what fucking you up. The tinsel is what's confusing you. The tinsel, the baubles, the candy canes, the fairy lights, the star on the top, or angel, whichever you prefer, is the thing that is distracting you from the truth that you are just meant to look at this plain, bare, sparse tree and watch the pine needles wither and decay and fall off. That is it. The more you try and adorn it, the further you get away from the truth of nothing, of death, of a vacuum, of a lack of meaning, a lack of existence, a lack of purpose, the chaotic, random, nihilistic, stoic nature of an eternal vacuum of absolutely fuck all. Now that is my message to you. And that, what do you think about that? But yeah, it's not about looking for meaning and finding the purpose of life. It's just accepting there isn't one. There's no meaning, there's no purpose.
If you believe that, then I envy you so much.
I honestly swear, kids, I couldn't mean it more. I could not mean it more. It's so fucking good. And that's why I don't give a fuck if I live or die. But don't bother me either way. It's not like I want to die. I mean... It's not like I would need to escape the pain. It's just I couldn't give a fuck. And it's so good. My mortality doesn't bother me anymore. Other people's don't bother me anymore. If I won the lottery, I could, as Rudyard Kipling said, treat... what did he say?
he said... Know, if you hey, didn't he say that the he made exceedingly beautiful cake?
Yeah, no, but if you can treat victory and failure as imposters and whatever it was. But you have to... Do you know what bit I mean? Does he say you treat... I can't remember. Ish. It's like a shit anyway. But it is about taking the rough with the smooth and not really matter. It doesn't matter. None of it matters. Because when you're dead, you're fucking dead, man. You can't remember nothing when you're dead. And it, so if your life is full of
regret... You can't remember anything when you're alive.
Well, yeah, but if, yeah, that's true. But if you, if your life was nothing but pain and regret or nothing but sort of like warm memories and achievement, 1 second after you're dead, it's all gone. And does it really fucking matter? No, it doesn't.
Nothing matters.
Nothing ever did. That's the truth. Nothing ever did. I am there, mate. I'm there. And it'll never change now. Not now I've seen the light.
My biggest worry is that I often follow behind you about a year with your revelations, your life goals, your achievements. I sort of stumble along behind. And you're like my barometer out there where, you know, something happens to you or you feel a certain way. And then I go, about 6 months later or a year later, I go, I'm in this position. This thing has happened to me. It's like what happened to you before.
Yeah.
I know the last 12 months, I've followed your trajectory quite closely, and I'm a bit worried about where I'm going to be about June next year is all I'm worried about. You know, maybe March, April time.
Can you not see how enthusiastic I'm about this? It's
now,
great.
Yeah. That's exactly what I'm saying. I think, like, genuinely, I envy you now. Like, this you now, if this is true, what you're saying...
100%.
That's where I want to be. That's my goal. My life goal is to be where you are now, right? Mentally, in that frame of mind. I think that whole thing of, like, nostalgia being a very dangerous thing, and that thing of... negatively, like, what's the thing about comparing yourself to other people same industry or the mm-hmm. same, you know, why have they got that, I haven't got that? So jealousy, nostalgia, and the opposite of that, the kind of going forward, looking into the future, looking at your own successes. I want to do away with all of that. I think that's a really healthy place to be. But what I'm saying is, I feel like you've come to this in the last couple of months.
Yeah,
right?
I think so.
But I know that the process you went through to get to this point. I don't want to go through that blackness.
No, you don't have to. That's the thing. I'm the canary in the coal mine.
Am I on your back? Are you piggybacking me through this?
No. What I'm saying is, what I was trying to get at with the Christmas tree analogy, which was pretty shit for my standards.
Oh, I loved it, mate. The listener loved it. I'm going to clip that.
So
I'm going to clip that and just put that out on its own. That'll be self-help. Justin's self-help.
Yeah.
Clip. It'll be a 40-second podcast on its own that the listener can download and save, and just when they're feeling in a dark time, they'll just click on that bit. Boom.
So what I'm saying is, people say the meaning of life, find something you love, find a passion, find a person you love, settle down, have children, fill your life with hobbies, find... And I'm saying that is completely wrong. It is, you can do all that stuff. I'm not saying don't do it, but you stop trying to introduce meaning to something that is ultimately meaningless. Come to terms. Get comfortable with the meaninglessness. Just the nothingness. Accept that and accept everything for what it is. Tinsel and fairy lights. That's all it is. It's a fireworks display.
Oh, it's fireworks. It's back in November now.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, you're looking at the dark cold. You think about what fireworks are. You're standing at night looking up into an infinite universe.
I need to interrupt you. I don't want to interrupt you, but I need to. You're in a real dangerous position of undoing the really great thing that you said by using your skills as an analogist to do another one that
this
is not going to be as good. Now, but what'll happen is, I'm just worried, and I'm going to let you go for it. But I'm concerned that you will get halfway through this one and go, I don't fucking know.
Well,
and then the whole house of cards comes.
And that is part of it. That's endemic of it. I don't fucking know. No one fucking knows. That is meaninglessness. I don't know if that's a word, but I want to make it one. That is the meaningless nature of what I'm talking about. My philosophy doesn't matter. My philosophy is as irrelevant as someone that's completely into, say, religion and says the meaning of, you know, like, it's all meaningless. And what I'm saying is as meaningless as anything else. That's why I can't be this kind of egotistical evangelical guru. All I can say is nothing fucking matters, including my opinion right now. That's what, once you have to completely accept it. Do you see what I'm saying? You have to really live that. You have to really be ensconced and fucking let it permeate every thought. This thought I'm having right now doesn't matter. Even if it's a revelation about the universe, it still doesn't fucking matter. Nothing matters more than anything else. Nothing matters.
It's beautiful.
Thank you. But it's actually freeing, and it's not nihilistic, and it's not. I don't find it to be a negative philosophy. I find it to be very empowering. You know, I find it to be very...
Yeah, but it can be if you use it right. This is the thing. This is what I'm saying, really, is that it's all very well saying this, but if you don't actually believe it, if you don't... that's where I want to be. That's exactly what I'm saying. That's where I want to be. I want to be in that headspace. But I also know that saying it and believing it are two completely separate things. So I can say, yeah, I don't agree with nostalgia and I don't want to... put meaning onto stuff that doesn't exist, but I'm also incredibly aware that I do, and I'm terrified of things that I shouldn't be, and none of it matters. But yeah, like I heard, what's his name? Who's the guy? You do a good impression of him. That was in D-Ream, but he's also a physicist.
Oh, Brian Cox.
Yeah, he said a thing like, they were talking about afterlife. He's like, no, there is no afterlife, but why would you want there to be? Why can't you just accept that this is beautiful, this tiny morsel of awareness? You were here, you weren't here for as long as you won't be here again. Why can't you just take this moment? It's beautiful that you've got this moment. And I was like, yeah, that is beautiful, but fuck, that doesn't really change how I feel.
I think in that there's emotive language that I would eradicate. I wouldn't even use the word beautiful. I would just say it exists. Because what is beauty? What is beauty, Ash? Would you say a fly is beautiful?
Yeah.
Yeah. So would you say a lump of vomit is beautiful?
No.
To a fly, a lump of vomit is beautiful, right? Because it would go and feed off it.
That's true.
What is it?
It's your perception, isn't it?
It's not even perception. It's just nothing's beautiful, nothing's ugly. Things just are things. And I think that human beings...
You've definitely called me ugly before, mate.
Well, you're a hideously ugly man. But I'm saying, like, I'll tell you, as you was talking, I was thinking about... Do you know what my moment of revelation was? Where I think, like, something really seismically clicked and it really became real and I meant it, and it meant
was it when your throat rotted out?
No, that probably I had a lot of time to think when I was that ill, and I was sort of like in that sort of like half twilighty, half conscious dreamlike state
for about a month,
6 weeks. Yeah, so I think I realised something about why a lot of people don't like me.
People like, hey.
No, but I'm not.
No, they don't.
And I know what it is. I am anti-hubris.
Yeah, because you're not a bullshitter.
I do, but I remember, like, I'll be in a green room, I very much rug pull... what do you call it? Like, people can sort of like try and...
You always pull a wig off a man's head.
Bob, I'd love to put... That's my dream. My dream is to meet someone and just reach up and yank his wig off. That is exactly it. I want him exposed. I remember when I was playing rugby and we was at the half time and this player got us all round, the captain, just like quite a high standard of rugby. And he started going, God, he's trying to do this motivational speech. And he was going, some men are out now Saturday afternoon. They're going around shopping centres with their families. They're carrying shopping bags. They're with their wives. They're paying. We are modern day gladiators. We are here. We are modern day gladiators. And I just went, no, we're fucking not. In the middle of that, as you were saying that. People do not like that. I don't go along with it.
No, you popped his bubble. That's all he had.
Exactly. I burst bubbles. And comedians come off and they're like, oh, you know, oh, this. I'm going to be like, I've had younger comedians go to me like, look up to me. And they'll say, do you think I could make it as a pro? And I've gone like, well, yeah, of course you can. There's loads of shit people that make it, but it doesn't mean anything. Wait, look, if you need my opinion, then probably no.
Well, what about the time where someone sent me a video of them and asked that question, saying, oh, this is the best gig I've done. Can you have a look at it? Give me some feedback. And I looked at it and went, well, first you need to stop looking down at the floor the entire time. That joke you just did there is actually racist. This thing you said you've taken from someone else. And he come back with, wow, a lot to think about there.
Isn't he? So he's great, Patreon. But I am... No, but the thing is, I have never, ever asked... If I did a gig with fucking Dave Chappelle, I wouldn't ask his opinion because I don't give a fuck.
Not on you. I think you can ask for advice on the industry.
I don't think you can. That's where we're being slightly different. Stuff. We're slightly different. If you give me advice, it wouldn't be me. I don't want to... I don't... And again, but like I said, I'm anti-hubris in that way that I do burst bubbles, but not deliberately so.
No, but again, it's the same thing. You're not a bullshitter. It's really like listener to the show, Simon Barlow. It's that thing of just saying no when everyone expects you to say yes.
Yeah.
You know that thing of like if I've had an argument with anyone and I speak to him about it, say I've had an argument with someone, and I go, I can't believe it, this happened. He will always go, yeah, but that's because they probably think blah, 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 blah. And I go, no, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, you're supposed to be, yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. He's not playing the game. But that's good. That's what I'm like. I remember, like, I've even done it, like, when I've come off stage and I've had a really good gig and someone has gone, like, who's, like, you know, like, a well-known, higher up the totem pole comedian. That happened not long ago. And they go, fucking hell, you absolutely smashed that. That was brilliant. And I just like shrug and go, so? I don't
that's
care.
That's what I do. That's what I do, baby.
But that's what I'm saying. And but that's the thing. So if you can't enjoy the crest of the waves, then the depths of that trough in between doesn't bother you either. As Rudyard Kipling said, I keep coming back to it. Famously,
oh,
if you can treat your wins and losses as the same imposter and treat them the same. That what he said. He said it in black and white.
He said exactly that as well.
Yeah, but
shall I find out what he actually said?
If you can treat victory and defeat, yeah, go on then. It's something like that.
I know we don't normally like to.
Well, you normally think things up off the top of your head because you've got.
Yeah, well, I can edit this and pretend that I did.
No, yeah. If you can treat... Yeah.
You can buy it on Zazzle for £1.20. I know that.
Well, if?
If you can keep your head when all about you... Hold on. You know what we should do? When we finish the podcast, you should read if.
Oh, for the I'll listener. Read it. As who would you like to read it as? Nicolas Cage.
I can't do an impression. I want you to read it.
Who was your
you.
Best impression?
You know what? Actually, let me tell you something. This has been the most honest and transparent Justin Panks I've ever heard on the podcast. I don't want you to do it as an impression. I don't want you to hide behind
a
glossy exterior. I want you to read if to the listener as Justin Panks. I want to hear it from your heart.
All right. Well, I have to get it up on my screen then. Because I don't know it. Hang on. If. What sort of name's Rudyard? That's a fucking shit name.
I bet that's not his name.
Rudyard. Has there ever been a Rudyard?
There's not been many Rudyards, has there?
Is it? Yeah.
He looks like a twat as well.
Right, let's just read the actual... If you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same. That was it. If you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same. That's what it is.
But how do I put that into any kind of positive spin? Like, how do I make that...
What does positive mean? That's what that's saying. So triumph, positive, disaster, negative... Treat them
but
the same.
How am I using that, mate? That's I can hear it, and I think it's great. But how am I using that?
So when something happens and you get that pang of, oh, that was a disaster, this is worrying me, just think, it doesn't matter. That doesn't. Think about, I don't know, a space rock in silence, in the vacuum of space, just sort of like whizzing past the planet. What the fuck is that?
How am I putting that into... how am I using that?
You don't
use it.
I keep
asking the same question.
See, you're stuck in that... You're not buying it. You see, you're still thinking that this is a meaning. And I'm saying this is as meaningless as anything else. You're still looking for meaning. You got to stop looking for meaning.
I want to be in a Zen position like you. I want to be able to release all of the material trappings, live in my car if I need to, not let that faze me.
I guess the truth is, this is my afterlife. I'm in the afterlife, isn't it? Because this is a second wind. I wasn't expecting this.
Yeah, I had the same thing about 12 years ago.
Not an accidental brush with death, but just thinking...
I'm talking about literally, like, the same thing. I'm going to say the word divorce, Justin.
I'm not talking about divorce. I'm talking about ending it. Like, once you've got that close to ending it and then don't, and then you're just like, now nothing really matters.
I need to go pretty close to ending it?
I think you have to think about it, yeah. I honestly think to get the most out of life, you have to literally let it go and just go, nah, fuck it, it's not worth it. And then everything else is a bonus.
Yeah.
Honestly,
What film's that like?
What's that?
Where they strip them down and build them back up again. Isn't that basically every baddie in every film?
Yeah, you just gotta just go. This, like I said, the thought of being comfortable with ending it all, it's freeing, and it's actually cathartic and therapeutic. And it's like I said, I don't feel trapped. You're trapped. You feel trapped. You're trapped. That's the difference.
I just need you to say on my screen, you've still got Merry Christmas written behind you. You just said, I've got to say, I'm comfortable with the thought of ending it all. And behind you, it says Merry Christmas.
You're trapped. You're scared. You've got Stockholm Syndrome. I haven't. You've got Stockholm Syndrome, you don't want to be incarcerated, but you're terrified of being set free. I'm the chief from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, mate. I'm going to lob that fucking water fountain through the window and piss off across that field. Don't bother me.
And then they're going to think I'm insane. I have to stay in the bloody hospital.
Yeah.
I've just been pretending to be mad the whole time.
Well, no, that's the irony, because he gets lobotomised and, oh, that was sad. That's a good film. Probably my favourite film, actually. I like that film. I like that film. I remember the hairs on the back of my neck standing up when the chief says juicy fruit. I mean, just try explaining that to a child now that watches these fucking 10,000 mile an hour jump cut action movie heroes. That wasn't a sentence. You know what I mean, though, didn't you? It's like, you know, someone who's watched The Avengers, and then you try and get them to sit through an hour and a half of nothing. So a big Native American says juicy fruit, it actually means something to you.
That's the point of that.
Crescendo of the film.
That's the point of that, isn't it? What he's saying is meant to not make any.
Yeah, I know, but it worked.
I wonder what it did for the sales of Juicy Fruits.
Juicy Fruit was like 2 minutes of flavour, and then nothing lost its flavour quicker than a Juicy Fruit.
Oh, this is very in keeping with your philosophy of life, really.
Isn't it? So, I'm now going to go down the range and buy a new chip basket. You know those sort of like net things you cook oven chips on?
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to go down the range and buy one of those.
Why?
Oh, I set fire to the other one. I put the grill on and it was under there and it set fire.
Is it not made of metal?
No, it's like a string covered in a Teflon, but it's flexible. You don't know what I mean then. And the corners are sort of turned up. It's like a little flexible material thing.
No, I don't know what you mean then.
Yeah, it's like a net covered in a non-stick, but I turned the grill on when I was pissed. to grill some
cheese. So lunchtime, yeah?
Yeah, to grill some cheese, and all of a sudden the flat was filled with toxic smoke, and that was on fire. And I chucked it out the window, and it's still out there. And I haven't got a garden. Still be out there. Haven't got a garden. It's in a communal area.
It'll still be out there for some time, I should imagine.
Oh, when I move, I'll be here when I move, whenever that might be.
It's beautiful, man. What podcast?
What a podcast!
I feel emotionally drained.
Yeah, do you think this one should have like a trigger warning on it?
No, it's the opposite of that.
Oh, is it?
An untrigger warning. Wake up, sheeple.
Yeah, plandemic.
It's beautiful. I feel genuinely moved.
Oh.
I just wish I'd recorded it.
Oh, has it not come out?
No, I mean the video.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Probably it hasn't recorded. And then if this episode hasn't recorded, I'm not doing it anymore.
Well, that would be like in keeping that nothing matters.
That's true.
There you go.
Once you've listened to this episode, listener, just delete it.
Delete yourself.
No. Don't delete yourself. Before we go, Justin,
sign up to our top tier Patreon and then delete yourself so you can't cancel it. And
we do need to say thank you to some people. We've had some new Patreons. Antonio Dos Reis has gone in a top tier Patreon. So we've got to make it worth your while. We're working on these 10. I want to call it an audio book. There you go. What do you think about that?
Yeah, we'll call it an audio series.
So Paul Rees also gone in at that level. Thank you so much. And Adam Wade over on Ko-fi with a very sizable donation. Thank you so much. Massively appreciated. And thank you to everyone who left their Patreon on, which means we can now pay for the storage. We've had a few issues with the pod hosting people before. But on this time, although it's not happened yet, they've actually said that we can have a couple of months free until we can afford to pay.
Yeah, but they haven't done it. They've just said it.
They've said it, but they haven't done it. But I'm hoping that they will.
Yeah. Well, I'm better at it.
Thank you to everyone who has supported us, because it does mean that we can continue to do it. We're basically a victim of our own success, in as much as it's impossible to do it for free. At the beginning, we could just host the podcast for free because there was no issue with storage, no issue with bandwidth. But then because so many people listen, the bandwidth become an issue, so we had to stop paying. And then because we both essentially lost our jobs.
It doesn't matter though, does it?
It meant that we couldn't really afford to chuck the money into the podcast hole.
Doesn't matter.
But we appreciate the fact that you can. If you want to, you can go to Patreon. It's Pranks from Firth on Patreon. And you can support us there. It's very much appreciated. You can do anything you want. You get a video podcast every month. You get an extra podcast every month. And if you own the top tier, you're going to get the access to the new 10... or the audiobook of 10 separate podcasts based on a subject, which will be coming at some point in the new year.
Yeah.
And we appreciate it. Thank you. And I appreciate you, Justin.
Oh.
You don't appreciate me because you have no connection to anything.
I'm getting better at it as well. Rolling stone gathers no moss.
Cheers, mate.
Bye.